Blog Talk Radio.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath clothed his children with the greatness of his promises. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, bring to naught the things that are. Glorious and victorious day it is. You know it's a glorious and victorious day in the kingdom of heaven. But whatever occurs in the kingdom of heaven predicates the events, the very occurrences upon the earth. On this Palm Sunday, March 29th, 2015, you've tuned in to Manna from on High, heard on all six continents around the world, with the largest listening, and with so many demons, the Sabbath day. Let me tell you something. Whatever day that you set aside, it's up to you upon your own personal convictions. Some people choose Sunday, traditional setting of things. Some people say that Sabbath is Monday. Some even say that the Sabbath is Saturday. But the important factor, let us come and be reasonable together. It does not matter what day, as long as that you choose the day to set aside for worship, prayer, and praise, a day of concentration, a day in which you delegate that this is going to be my primal focus. Forget your business connections. Forget the issues that are at your job. Forget negotiating contracts. Forget carrying on the colloquial affairs of your life. And that one day is set aside to give God your focus. And that's what God is requiring of us. Focus. The focus factor has to be on. So let's look at it. God said about the tithe. The first thing that people think about the tithe, oh, God wants 10% of my income. God owns the wealth of the world. I don't care what evil alliances attempt to control, manipulate, and monopolize upon the fiduciaries, the pro capita of this present society, the wealth of this world. He owns it. And the kingdom of heaven hath no need of our material substance. God requires souls that are willing to serve, spirits that are upraised, uplifted, above the criterion of this present-day society. God said, tenth, a tenth of your mind, a tenth of your heart, a tenth of your labors, your endeavors, your ambitions, your passions, your drives, your goals, your inertias, your concentration, a tenth of the words that you speak, a tenth of your deeds, a tenth of what you eat, to bless others, to make sure that others are fed. Thus, you possess this temple. God said, give me a tenth of your temple. Give me a tenth of it. Perpetually, continually, you will stay in phenomenal health. You will keep a full storehouse. Your cupboards will run over. Divine favor will perpetually pour into your life. Your enemies will be rolled over, pressed down, removed, eradicated. Divine favor will come in your doors perpetually. Your windows will receive the greatness of his presence and cause the Shekinah glory to infiltrate the vortex of your living environment. He said, give me 10. Give me 10. 10% of all you possess. That's such a minimal requirement for a mighty and great God that owns the universe. There is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. It's such a small requirement. So this is the day of the 10th, that we give God 10% of all that we possess. That's right. That's right. 2 hours and 40 minutes is all he asks. What is 2 hours and 40 minutes? Sometimes you sit at your favorite restaurant. Get with me now. You'll get it to your favorite restaurant. You stand at the door 40 minutes. Because why? They're on jam. They're on pack. Because why? A special occasion may be celebrated. Maybe there's a birthday party or a retirement party, a baby shower, a wedding party in which we have, many of us are looking forward to having those pre-wedding parties. And look, what will happen is that you'll have to end up standing at the door waiting. Do we get upset? We may say, oh, this is a long wait, but we'll grin, we'll smile, we'll be colloquial or friendly, we'll be gregarious, we'll befriend other people while we're standing in line. We'll have small talk about our children, about our significant others, about our jobs, about things that are going on in our life. And we'll be pleasant. We'll wait that 40 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. See why? Because the food is good. There is a sense of family networking, connectivity. The faculty there are caring. The space is substantial where you're comfortable. You're not crushed in between the table and the chair. And you love the quality of the service. So it's worth waiting for. We'll stand there an hour. And then we get to the table. Here's another 30, 40 minutes sometimes to get your food, because probably what you require or you requested or ordered has to be prepared singularly or upon a, you know, once requested basis. We got to wait another 40 minutes. Okay, so you stood there an hour in line waiting to get seated by the hostess because the place was crowded. You get seated. Now you got to wait another 40 minutes. Okay, that's an hour and 40 minutes there. Then you wait during that time to receive your food. Then you eat. You're talking and you're, you know, conversing with perhaps someone sitting there with you about certain things that are going on. So when you break it down, this is what I'm getting to. I don't want to just derive upon this concept, but I want to zero in on this factor, this primal factor. You spend 2 hours and 40 minutes literally getting into a restaurant, getting served, and, you know, patronizing what it is that you've ordered. And then you've got to wait sometimes to pay the person that served you, and as well as the gratuity. You've wasted 2 hours and 40 minutes. So what is 2 hours and 40 minutes investing in your life upon this earth and in your relationship with God and your eternal security? It is a minimal base requirement. If everything were that easy, if you could go into your job, think about this, and I'm thinking about it too as being a teacher. What if I could go in? That's why I miss half days of school. Let me tell you the truth. You know, we'd be there 4 hours and leave and get paid for a full day. That was what the district requirements are, but it's no longer in that way. But what if we could go to our jobs, whether you're an educator as I am, whether you're in the corporate level of America, whether you're in the area of retail sales, or maybe perhaps you're a factory, a worker contributor. What if you and I could go into our jobs and work 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes and leave with a full paycheck for 8+ hours? That would be phenomenal. But upon the worldly standards, no. It's not. You can take what's called a comp time where you can get compensated for those hours, but there's a process level degree of requirement that have to be adhered to before the desired outcomes take place. So according to worldly standards, there's a process. But when you come to the kingdom of heaven, there is no process. It's just as simple can be. So give God that 2 hours and 40 minutes today of your life, whether it's just listening to manna from on high, where you can get the best, the very finest that God has to offer, And once you tune out from here, pick up the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when you go into prayer, making that verbal communication connectivity factor happen, then you meditate upon the word and then give God the praise. In the midst of all, be sure to give him the praise, because when you give God the praise, God will give you the raise. Oh, let me say that again. When you give God the praise, he will indeed give you the raise. So let us be mindful of these things. Listen, anytime we should let them slip. So on this Palm Sunday, what is Palm Sunday? According to the whirling of substantiation of Palm Sunday, this is the Sunday in which the preparation for the crucifixion was taking place. Let me tell you something. I'm not one that's into the traditionalism of things. We should often, as much as needful and necessary, reflect upon the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Often, we don't have to wait until when the world says it's Easter. Easter of the resurrection of Christ, his presence should always be within us. Why? We should constantly revisit his life, his deeds, his perfection, his example, every opportunity that we get. And we shouldn't be slack concerning these things. Because if you're slack, at any given time they'll slip. And then you'll wonder why you don't receive the greatness of God's presence in your life. That's right. You and I have a job to do, and we need to fulfill those requirements. We want the best that God has to offer. We've got to substantiate and give him the best that we have as well, which is not much, which is not much at all. It is not. And I know that last week we left off, and I'm going to tell you something, that word was so powerful. So many of you received divine deliverance last week because you realized that you were attempting to serve God using that old mind, in which we know that key elementation of that scripture that told us. That's right, you got to cast down every imagination that exalted itself above God and hold every thought into the captivity, into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So now that we understand these things, we don't have to let them slip. That's right, we don't have to let them slip. Why? Because God holds us account. These bodies are our temples. That's right, and you know he told us in his word, that any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It's just that simple. You got to, what God gave you, you've got to honor it and to respect it. Why? Because until God says otherwise, we have to respect what he has given us. That's right. Because there is no impartation in him. Or rather to say, there is no separation in the Lord. We make the separation. We cause the conflict. Because you know why? We refuse to obey what is true. We want the truth to configure to the things that we want, but we don't want to configure to the truth in which God has given us. And it's time for us to get out that mess that we're in. It's spring cleaning time. That's right. And a mind, as we indicated earlier, is a terrible thing to waste. So we've got to cleanse ourselves according to the word. That's right. And the book of Corinthians is an excellent place to start. That's right. It's an excellent place to start. Because why? Corinthians was a set of two letters that Apostle Paul wrote concerning the lifestyle of these new phase, new world believers. There was a variety of problems, you know, that they were getting into reckless behavior. See, reckless behavior will cost you so much. It will cause you to mess up, miss out, and fall short, and fall in. Let's go Because I know we've definitely elaborated so much about the very essence of what the mind does. See, when we talk about the mind, about let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, we're talking about the totality of one's thought. Thoughts are going to come to you. They come to me. It's a way of letting you know that you are alive in the face of physical and human consciousness. Once your body and your brain are separated and you are pronounced clinically dead, the thought process ceases. Why? Because there has to be some neural pathology in which activates the thought process in order for one to think. So when one is pronounced clinically dead, they become an open vessel. The mind, the spirit is released, goes back to God, and that soul, the soul is the imprint of who you are. That's right. Who you are, not only physically, but metaphysically, is in either going to receive the giftness of paradise or else the reserve of Hades. It's according to your deeds. See, your deeds are your fruits. A tree is known. Get this now. A tree is known by the fruits that it bears. So we talked about the mind. That's the reason why we said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the only way you're going to overcome the circumstances of this society, sick, sin, plague society with all this violence and hatred and an apathy going on, is through your mind. And our Messiah tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. As you think, you become. You can be the most beautiful person in the world, look in the mirror. But if your mind tells you you're unattractive, to you, you're going to be unattractive. And then despite how people compliment you, you're going to feel unattractive. Watch, because your mind permeates whom it is that you are. It masters the very significance of ego, superego, and I. Ego is the imprint of your personality. Superego imprints your level of moral convictions. And I contemplate the very anomaly of the pleasure principle, the things that cause happiness to generate in your being. Because every person's level of gratuity, of gratitude, of fulfillment is different from others. So these are the imprints that are embedded within the mind. So see, the mind is such a powerful thing. It tells the body what to do. This is the reason why we've got to be careful about what we feed our minds. Because whatever gets into the mind, your mind becomes pregnant. That's right. You become impregnated with things. That's right. But let me break it down again. I did last week, and I want to do this before we begin this phase of teaching this week. See, what happens is thought process, okay? Things come to you. That's right. Either you can accept or reject them. But if you accept a thought or a concept or idea that comes to you, you start building the lateral, okay? But begin to imagine. Oh, this is the dangerous part. See, when you start fantasizing, finagling possibilities, then with the possibilities comes the range of opportunity. With the range of opportunity comes the likelihood of engagement, to get involved, to get actively involved, to make it happen. And this is why we have to cast down every imagination, every opportunity that there is to go against the nature of God's word, the nature of what is wholesome, what is pure, what is holy. We have got to cast it down. When you cast something down, you say, I don't want nothing to do with it. You look at it as a disease that could infect you as well as kill you and others around you. Nobody in their right mind wants a disease that could cause them suffering and cause their life to become a living catastrophe and then spread to others. No one in their right mind would want that. So this is the way you have to cast down every imagination that exalts itself above God. When people come to you with negativity, you don't want to get pregnant with that negativity, you got to say no, no thank you. Oh, right, but you know something? I've got something to do. It doesn't matter how you cast it down, whether you say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and with some people that came to me and they start talking, just the very presence of them was so wicked. And I was at that time maybe not operating fully in the faith factor the way I should have been operating. I started praying as they were talking. It was quickly that they moved away from me. So sometimes when people come to you with these dark imaginations and with confusion and gossip and rhetoric, don't let that impregnate your mind, because it will become a preoccupation. It will become a preoccupation, and you'll feed into that, and that negativity will rub off on you. Okay? So we talked about the mind, the importance of the mind. Now let's focus on the body and the heart. See, heart and soul, mind and spirit. Let's talk about heart and soul. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and let's read from the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? Go to Romans 8, chapter and verse 9 to build up the morality of this statement given by Apostle Paul. 17th verse. Says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Oh, Pastor Paul, he broke it down. Let's go back to that 16th verse again. We already talked about the impurities of the mind last week. See, there's a connectivity there. But we're talking about the heart and the soul, because it governs the very essence of your actions. See, the preconceived notion that rocks the ocean, the mind, but the precipitation of the action and behaviors through the heart. Because why? You feel love in your heart. Your mind perceives what love is, but your heart receives what has been perceived and then acts out in motion. You don't commit fornication with your mind, but no, it's an impregnation. That's why it becomes a vain imagination. What would it be like? What would it feel like? You build up this fantasy, but then your heart starts desiring. See, the temptation comes in the mind. So you've got to understand who you are and who you're not. Temptation comes in the mind, but see, in the heart, it becomes a passion, a driven desire. And this is where we fall short. So he's saying, you know what? Your body is to be respected. God designed our bodies to be a living epistle, being read of men daily. What is an epistle? Epistle is a letter. People should be able to look at me and say, you know something? You sure look good. You sure taking good care of yourself. I get those compliments a lot because people can look at you, they can look at the quality of your skin, the whiteness of, you know, of your pupils and your eyes. They can look at the very essence of how clean your teeth are. They can look at how you're put together and say, this person is really living right. And Lord knows the mainstay that people look at is the quality of your skin. And so many people tell me, you don't even look 30. And I'll tell you something, God will masterfully so renew your youth. Renew your youth. It's a new day, but you got to live right. When you're walking in hatred, when you're walking in unforgiveness, you're walking in jealousy, you're walking in envy, you're walking in unforgiveness. And I keep saying unforgiveness because unforgiveness opens up a whole echelon of a lot of unpleasantries in your life, things that are negative that will affect your health, the way you feel about others. Your whole life will be affected. So these are negative things. That's right. So look, so in knowing this, we're mindful that our bodies are to be kept, that they are to be regarded and respected because why? The presence of God abides within us. And so we have to regard those things. Listen, any given time, we should let them slip And as a result of letting them slip, we fall to the consequences. You have to cleanse yourself according to the word, because would you live in a house that was impure? So God cannot dwell in an unclean place. You keep connecting with negative people who are not doing what is right, refusing the knowledge and the will of God, your life will plummet down to nothing and to nothingness. And let me tell you something. You will feel the aftermath effects of your deeds, because your deeds are your fruits. It proves, it validates your character of who you are and what you represent. Let me tell you something. We're going to come back to you on tomorrow. We're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to talk about the affairs of the heart. We already know where the mind is, but the affairs of the heart. And God has a divine plan of mastery, whereas we're going to be exalted in this present-day society if we obey his word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Have a blessed, wonderful, glorious, and victorious day. And we're praying for you, and we'll see you then. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phillips, knowing your motive, sending my Ronnie Singh, and all things give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, yeah.